Craig and Mark Kielberger are brothers. When they were in middle school, over 20 years ago now, they went to Africa on a trip with other young people as part of an international educational experience. That experience, it totally changed their lives and the direction their lives would go. They saw poverty, they saw need, and they saw exploitation in Africa. But they also witnessed the spirit of the people. What could happen if the right kind of support and opportunities were made available? What possibilities could there be if people were given the means to develop their own lives and build up their communities? The brothers came back, and they knew they had to do something. And so they began by trying to enlist other youth back home, connecting them with global issues and social causes, and soon they were establishing partnerships with a growing number of schools to inspire what they called change makers from within the classroom. Now, 20 years later, they have established a whole social enterprise called Me to We. Me to We raises money by selling products and travel experiences, which then provide funds to their We charity. And then the We charity sponsors projects all over the world. Now, the vision of Me to We is this: to empower people to transform local and global communities by shifting from me thinking to we acting. Their mission is to inspire and enable people to do good through their everyday choices, and these choices include what people buy, how they spend, and the choice of travel that leaves a positive footprint on our planet. Now, even though the enterprise and charity they run is dependent on money, it is, the spiritual goal of the movement is to change thinking and behavior. In a word, it's about changing me thinking and behaving to we thinking and behaving. It's about changing selfishness and self-focus to serving and empowering others. And in the process of becoming we thinkers and doers, people are transformed in their values and what they're passionate about. Well, it all sounds great in theory. And in fact, I think most people, or many people anyway, would love to be we thinkers and doers. But what's the cost? And what are the obstacles to be overcome? Well, at a very basic level, maybe some of us are afraid of what we'll be challenged to give up. How much of our own needs and wants will be set aside while the massive needs around us take over? It's one thing to do our little bit here and there, but asking us to change our lives completely from me to we? That's a whole other undertaking and a whole other cost. But maybe, what we're lacking is some basic understanding. What if our inner resistance and hesitation is holding us back from experiencing a different kind of fulfillment, a different kind of joy, even a different kind of happiness? What if, for all the needs and privileges and possessions we can accumulate for ourselves, we can never match the kind of abundance we can experience until we shift our thinking and behaving from me to we in a decisive way? The question is, do we believe this? Do we believe that giving up me in order to open up to we will really give us more than we can ever get any other way? Maybe many of us have already tasted what it's like to shift a little from me to we, and how good that has felt. But so how do we keep shifting in a more decisive way? Let's delve into our gospel reading for some inspiration and insight. The disciples of Jesus, they've signed up to follow Jesus because they care and because they believe Jesus is the Messiah to lead their people into better days and better ways. But like many of us, a lot of their energy is also self-interested. And this self-interest shapes the expectations they have. Their self-interest shapes what they hear and what they resist hearing. Jesus has been telling them two key things. First of all, serving other people isn't easy, and in fact, serving others can be a thankless, draining, and costly venture. Second, Jesus has also been telling them that serving means you start at the bottom, not at the top. To be a servant, especially in a world where there are even slaves, that world was one such, and in our world today there's still slavery, it means you don't look for promotions, but for opportunities. Opportunities to serve those most neglected, mistreated, and dismissed in terms of their value and importance in society. This means that serving them and helping them, it won't get you much tangibly in terms of money or status or visible recognition. Meaning and fulfillment will have to come in a very different way. And so James and John, they're like many of us at heart. We're jockeying for things like status and security or recognition, money, appreciation, and so many other things that are tangible markers of our personal value. And what does such competitiveness for position with Jesus do among them? It creates anger, resentment, mistrust. It erodes fellowship and unity. It undermines genuine love. And so Jesus rebukes them. In the world, he says, those who are recognized as great use their me focus to draw privilege and service towards themselves. But to become my followers in your thinking and doing, you need to understand this. I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That is to say, I have come to give up my life so that others may be liberated and empowered through my living, my serving, and even my dying, should it have to come to that. Wow. No wonder they don't want to understand what Jesus is saying. And then there's a story that follows, a story about a healing. And this story following this account is quite intentional in the gospel, as I suggested in the intro to the reading. The blind beggar, his name is Bartimaeus. The fact that he's named, all people who are healed aren't named, but the fact that he's named means that he becomes somehow an important witness of the kind of follower Jesus is looking for. How so? Well, at first, Bartimaeus seems just like so many who cry out to Jesus. They're looking for something for themselves. And you know, the needs, they're legitimate and real. Our needs, they're legitimate and real. Bartimaeus is blind, or he cannot see. In the world, a world before modern medicine and a world with no social Medicare of any kind, people suffer all kinds of ailments. Their only hope is in healers like Jesus. But here's the thing. Bartimaeus recognizes in Jesus someone more than a healer. Son of David, he calls Jesus, which is code for Messiah, Savior. Jesus is a spiritual transformer. Bartimaeus is awakened and empowered to be a healing agent himself, but also through his faith, he is transformed to become a healing agent for others. He is transformed from me to we. In his seeing, see, blindness is used as a metaphor as well as a physical problem, as a metaphor as well, blindness and sight. Someone who is blind is made to see, while those who can see are actually blind. And so Bartimaeus is transformed in his thinking and his behaving. We're told that he gets up immediately and follows Jesus on the way. In time, of course, we know that James, John, and the others also follow Bartimaeus' example, but it takes them longer than Bartimaeus, and that's with Jesus working on them over several years. It's not easy shifting our thinking and behaving from me to we. Choices are difficult because it always involves a giving up as much as a taking up with new commitments and resolutions. We make space for others by getting rid of obstacles in our lives. We make space to give and serve of ourselves only as we keep clearing out those things in ourselves that are all about us and become distractions. Okay, but let's get really real. What does it look like? What does it look like to shift from me to we in a concrete way? Let me end the sermon with two illustrations. First, it is Remembrance Day today. We remember all those of our nation who have given up the greatest thing they had, their lives. War is bad, and it is sad, and it is tragic how many lives have been lost in the last 100+ years. Even though there are political winners and losers in war, the loss of life and the loss of physical and mental health on any one side is the biggest loss of all. So why did our people go to war? Regardless of justifications or blame for war, and regardless of what our personal views may be, those who served went out to serve not themselves, but something beyond themselves. They had a vision of some greater good they were serving. They were serving some greater justice, a more sustainable long-term peace, a protection of the vulnerable, a rescue of the victims. Whether any war can provide all that is questionable. Yet they gave their lives because they shifted their thinking and behaving from me to we. And so we honor them. And we want to be inspired to shift our thinking and behaving from me to we also. And let me offer one final example. Something a little lighter, but also about the shift from me to we. Liu Wenjian is a top official of a small village in rural China. The village is called Yuguluyang. The village has fewer than 100 residents, most of whom are farmers. Like many villages in rural China, Yuguluyang has very few young people. Young people make their way to the cities and they rarely return. The average age in rural villages is 65, and the future looks bleak. Many struggle with poverty and depression. But Liu wasn't about to give up on his village. He needed to find a way to bring some hope, some life, some purpose. One day, 2 years ago, he watched a 60-year-old woman sit cross-legged for about a half an hour on a large stone bed common in China's northern countryside. A woman sitting cross-legged. And this gave him an idea. Yoga. Many in the village thought it was a crazy idea, so far away as they were from many of the gyms and studios of Shanghai and Beijing. Most of the village had never even heard of yoga. They only recently had got the internet. Was Secretary Liu trying to introduce them into a cult? Liu himself had never done yoga before either. He didn't have the heart to tell them he had never taken a class. But through videos and photos and the internet, he began to learn yoga. But then he had to get the old farmers on board, and that would be a task. And so he bought gloves and mats to entice them. But initially, very few showed up to classes. Liu taught them how to breathe through a singing exercise. Then he tried to take them through some simple cross-legged moves. And it didn't take long for more residents to join in, nor did it take them long to try more ambitious poses. And after 2 years, Liu felt confident enough to enter the village in a large provincial competition. They won an award for being the best collective team in the whole province. And now Liu has even bigger plans. He wants to turn the village into a yoga training base for farmers from all over China, which he says will draw tourists as well. These are all dreams, of course, says Liu, but one has to have dreams. And we may add, one has to be changed from a me to a we, thinker and doer, to dream and act like Liu. One has to be motivated from a deeper passion to serve, anticipating the joy of seeing others flourish because we care. We have to become inspired by those who have served in time of war, giving up the ultimate sacrifice because they believed a better world was possible. We have to be inspired by Bartimaeus to be healed of our blind spots, focused on me, so that we can be liberated and empowered to follow Jesus into a greater we way of life. And we need to learn from human beings like Mark and Craig Kielberger that life's greatest riches are those things we give away, not those things we accumulate. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately we're told he regained his sight and followed him on the way. What about you and me? Amen.